So a lot of people went to the extraordinary AGM and booted out the idea that the club would be sold. It sort of started a movement going in the club that something had to be done. The people that wanted to save the club sort of became very enthusiastic, and eventually some new members got onto the committee, and gradually the committee started having a bit of contention in it, really, against some of the policies that were going on, and people tried to get money coming into the club, and a way of doing that was to get a new entertainment manager, so that they started to get the proper value and worth of the club from TV bookings and everything. And gradually some different bands were hired to go into the main hall, while the older crowd still had their kind of music in the smaller hall. And that's how it sort of started evolving into the club it is today, which hopefully serves everyone, really.
But yeah, then from there on, then it started to come back. And then the president at the moment, they were building flats out the back near the club's garden, and we had a right of way in. So he sold the right of way, and they got quite a lot of money for that as well. I think it was between 300,000 and 400,000. That was due to his good job and his work. And then that started building back up and bang bang. Yeah, but step by step, it seems to be surviving and going ahead at the moment.
Yes, yes. God, such a different place now. But yeah, it's very open. It's very open now for people, whoever, really. It doesn't really matter, which is a fantastic thing. It's not the closed shop it was, you know. Yeah, it's open to anybody who wants to be a member, really. As long as you behave yourself, you're welcome, which I think is fantastic. It makes such an improvement from 12 years ago. It really is. Yes, I mean, the E-Committee, they're just... In many ways, they're just better human beings, I'm afraid, than the older committee. In many ways, just... You want to do things for the community, you want to help out. Hence, helping out the food bank. Hence the food bank, hence the tenants' association, the residents' association, what have you.
A club has to move on with the times, you know? And it wasn't moving on all the times. But now they're doing so much now, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. For a while, there was no young people coming in here. They just, I don't know what happened. They seemed to stay clear of the club. But now you've got young people coming back. Oh, marvellous. You need the young.
I think we're heading towards 1,500 members. And so the club is a lot busier. But it's really lovely to see that people are joining and then bringing their children here, because the snooker is getting extremely popular amongst the younger members. By younger members, I mean members and their children who are coming. Yeah. And John Woods does an absolutely epic job at organising all the snooker tournaments and organising the youngsters that are playing snooker. So we see this as our next generation of members, and that again is really, really important, that we do encourage a new generation.
Because that's something I told you about, more the children, you know.
That's mums, recently, yeah.
That's it, mums and dads was down there.
Yeah.
And they was making tea and things. But some of them children, because they pop balls.
Really?
Girls and all. That's what I like to see, girls getting it. It's a good game.
I found a website. Someone had set up a Mildmay website. I was like, wow, they're looking for members. Trudy, like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was just like, where's this come from out of the blue? And then we applied, and we came down and we was interviewed by, was it Stefan?
Stefan yeah.
Met us and wanted to know what our intentions were. what's your intention? We were like, well, tell you the truth, we can't believe we're actually sitting here. That's, you know, but our intention is to be really well behaved. And yeah,
yeah. Still
we'll be model, you know. We'll put glasses on the bar, yeah. We'll pick things up off the floor. We just feel so privileged to be here. And I remember we had a little half a lager, didn't we? It was like, yeah. when we come in at the bar, and that's what, like, my mum would have.
Half lager and lager, yeah.
That's a tradition. I mean, it's just memories, such good memories, and the whole idea of it, like...
And I think it's because my mum, Ron and Sheila, they've passed away now. Your dad's passed away, your mum's not well, so yeah. It's that way of sort of connecting back to our history.
Keeping it alive, isn't it?
Yeah, because most of the pubs that we used to go, that are parents used to go drinking in, they've been closed and turned into houses or shops or whatever. So the only real place that we can go that's got their DNA in it, yeah, in some way,
and
is this place.
Memories, that's true.
So I joined the Mildmay as a member, I think, in March of this year, 2022. When I first came, it reminded me of places that I knew from when I was younger, growing up in the north. So there was something quite familiar about it and comfortable in coming here. I get quite tired of a lot of the ways that bars, places to spend time in London are heading in terms of just kind of like overly commercial, kind of overly glitzy or too dumbed down in some ways, you know. Whereas this, the Mildmay was somewhere to come that had a history and a legacy behind it. Didn't think too much of itself. Knew what it did well. And also pulled a damn good pint of Guinness for £3.50 at the time. So look, it's somewhere, I think me and my good mate Nicky talk about here, is that it's somewhere we can turn up without knowing who's going to be there. Take darts, have a couple of drinks, and just see who turns up. Then you know you'll have a nice evening. I don't think I've had that before with a place to go. You have to send a million texts around to organise it. Just turn up, see what Unite brings.
Yeah.